B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
ESPN News? Yeah, great. Great timing, guys. Played for 13 years and I retire, and now you're coming out with this sports news channel?
Oh, this is great. All these scores and highlights are really going to help my career. Look at me now. Gardening.
Thanks from the bottom of my heart. No, really, truly, thanks. I appreciate it. Idiots. Ridiculous. Morons. You guys want to kick my dog while you're here?
Jumbo home cooked meatball. Slice of pizza. Sausage sandwich. Healthy wrap. Fountain beverage.
What's up? It is Toucher and Rich, 603. The Town Fair Tire Studios, John Wallach, Joe Murray in this morning. And that is the voice of Cam Neely from, God, what year would that have been? When the launch of ESPN News, I think, came out.
It's got to be 95 or 96 because I'm thinking, you know, Neely in the early 90s was scoring 50 goals a game. And then thanks to Ulf Samuelsson, he suffered that terrible knee injury and was never the same. And I think he was done. I'd have to look it up, but I think he was done by the mid-90s.
Yeah, 96, yes. ESPN News began.
There you go.
Okay, well, that is a commercial, obviously, promoting ESPN News there, and he's out gardening. And to be quite honest, I hadn't seen it until yesterday. I believe it was, I forget what the guy's name is. It's the new person who covers hockey for the Globe, Maddie something.
Porter.
He tweeted it out. Maddie Porter, that's right. And I'd never seen that. I thought it was really funny, but it made me think about this weekend. I sat down and, you know, because of the summer, the kids every night before they go to bed, they're watching all this stuff. And I'm trying to watch something with them that's not going to drive me insane. So, like, when they want to watch a movie, I'm trying to bust out something that, you know, that they can watch now that I can. I introduced them to Dumb and Dumber the other day.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
I will say, first of all, Dumb and Dumber is amazing, and that's not breaking any new ground. It's one of those films that, I mean, really holds up, really holds up. And I'm every time I see Kingpin, I think that's the best Farrelly Brothers movie.
No,
and then every time I see Dumb and Dumber, I think that's the best Farrelly.
Yes,
movie. It's honestly the one that I've seen the most recently. I think is the best. And there's so many great one-liners that you just forget about that are in that film. And like, there's certain parts that the kids didn't get, which I thought was great. But Cam Neely in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is sublime.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
But it's not just that it's Cam Neely. It's that if that was just a regular actor, you would sit there and go, this dude's hysterical. Yeah. Like, there's a scene, there's a part, something that Cam Neely does in that movie that had me cackling. I mean, obviously, I've seen it 1,000 times. But for some reason, this was the first time I really, really caught a subtlety. And this is so weird. Like, a nuance. And something that actors probably have to study for years to get right, but Cam Neely nailed. Okay, so obviously we know that Jim Carrey gets in the fight with him at the bar, and then they go around. But then it's the scene when they get to the gas station in the middle of the night, and Jim Carrey goes in there and looks on the wall, and it says, for big manly love, be here on Monday, June 13th at 2:15 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at his watch, and it's the exact date and it's the exact time, and you hear the bang on the door. There is a moment. So Cam Neely, of course, kicks open the door.
Kick his ass, Seabass!
Of course. There is a moment that might last a fourth of a second where Cam kicks the door in, sees that it's Jim Carrey, and for a split second, this smile crosses his face. Like, it's you! And then it cuts. But it's just this brief moment of pure acting majesty that is just... I got to tell you, Cam Neely might be that might be a top five athlete as an actor in a movie performances of all time.
I think you're spending way too much time alone.
I think for a cameo, that's pretty good.
For a cameo, it's perfect.
It's fine, but perfect. To focus on that one quarter of a second the way you have
leads me to believe that
you need more personal contact.
Dude's foot's on fire.
That scene's great, too, because Jeff Daniels with the girls trying to get the phone number. Just get rid of that phone number, and his eyes are all crossed.
There are dozens of moments like that that I had forgotten. I mean, I totally forgot the two of them walking in with the tuxedos to that party, and one of them whacks the other in the back of the knees with the cane. I mean, I always lose it when I see that.
I got buddies that did that for Halloween. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, of course. But that's the best scene of the movie. That's the scene that will never get old.
Yes,
is when they're doing that, and he wags. He just falls. It gets me every single time.
Yeah.
But Cam Neely, I mean, it's the whole entire role. I mean, okay. Athletes who do cameos in movies, usually it's Lee Trevino in Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Where they just have them just look confused and it's funny and it's effective, but it's just stand there and do that.
Brett Favre walks in, looks really awkward. Yeah. Yes.
Reggie Jackson, Naked Gun, right? Was that really him?
That still doesn't count. Cam doesn't count. Those don't count. Cam had to act.
True.
Like he actually had to and the part when he hawks at his burger, like if you didn't know that was Cam Neely or not, you'd say, dude, this guy's great. Like, this guy's a really good character actor. And we'll put it over the top is just that subtle smile when he walks and goes, when he just realizes it's Jim Carrey. And it's really perfect. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, I know it's a small role, but actors or athletes, for the most part, suck when they try to act in movies. I mean, listen, Wilt Chamberlain in Conan the Destroyer is one of the all-time worst. I mean, just as bad as it could possibly get. Dennis Rodman in Double Team and Simon Says is so bad it's fantastic.
Yes.
But it's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. You know what? I don't remember much about it, but I don't remember being overly impressed with Ray Allen and He Got Game.
I've actually seen that movie recently, and it just happened to be on one of the movie channels. I think HBO had it late one evening, and I would sit there and, oh, okay, I'll watch that, because it was getting close to that scene that Fred and I have talked about at length. So I'm watching the movie, and by the way, Rick Fox is very good in that.
Rick Fox
is very good in that, surprisingly so. Ray Allen wasn't half bad. I mean, you could tell he was an athlete who was acting. I mean, he wasn't great, but for a guy who really had to carry large portions of that movie, he was pretty good.
But yeah, I was going to say, to your point, Rich, though, Cam Neely played a character named Seabass where, like, Dan Marino in Ace Ventura was Dan Marino.
Reggie Jackson was Reggie Jackson, yes.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you. Here's what I'll give you. I'll put Ray Allen in the same category as Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems, who's very good.
Yep.
But he didn't really have to do anything too crazy. I would put him in the same category as, Shaq in Blue Chips. Like, he was fine. You know, but then there's people who kind of are above and beyond, like Terry Bradshaw in Cannonball Run is awesome. Like, he's awesome. I mean, the dude's got massive comic chops.
He was very good.
Reality TV show. I saw a preview for.
But specifically about this, I hadn't thought of that. But Cannonball Run is a classic. Even if Dom DeLuise wasn't in it, it would still have been a classic. And Terry Bradshaw is extraordinarily good. I could not agree with you more. Shocking looking back at it now, because you're thinking, I remember seeing that movie and thinking, oh, yeah, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. But you don't realize how hard that is to do until you look back at it and you see the breadth of all the actors that have tried and failed miserably after him. And then you go back and look at it again, I'm like, wow, he's not bad at all.
He kills it. I mean, him and Klecko together, first of all, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
By TV, the two of them. And he goes, did you bring any snacks? And he holds up a little tiny bag of potatoes.
Perfect.
He was great. So I would put Cam Neely, Terry Bradshaw in this just other stratosphere. And you know what? You know who I might even put in there? O.J. Simpson in The Naked Gun.
No.
O.J. Simpson in The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Nordberg,
yeah.
Nordberg had a lot to do. Now, he's not quite up there, but he's better than Ray Allen, you know, like Kevin Garnett.
No. So I disagree. First of all O.J. Simpson had to do in those movies was get beat up and tossed out windows. Fall down the stairs.
It's not easy.
I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is it's obvious. There aren't comedic chops involved.
I'll give you one that I thought was really good. Jim Brown was in Mars Attacks. I thought he was good in that. And then he got game. He was one of those police officers.
Jim Brown was not good in Mars Attacks. Jim Brown has been good in some movies. Mars Attacks, I just love that movie, though, you know. Mars Attacks?
Dude, I think it's funny. I love Tim Burton, but Mars Attacks sucked.
You know what movie Jim Brown was good in? It really didn't have a very big role, but he was really good in. What was that football movie? The one with Al Pacino as the head coach. Any Given Sunday. Jim Brown was good in that. Lawrence Taylor also good in that.
Yeah. Once again, I'm trying to figure out somebody who's in the as I said, it's not a bold statement to say that Cam Neely might have a top five acting performance as an athlete. I mean, you think, you're naming all of these roles that these actors have had, and I'm telling you, they're not that great. They're pretty good, or they're not good, or they're just like a cameo where Lee Trevino shakes his head, and that's it.
I'll give you that, because a lot of the athletes who are in movies are acting as athletes. You know, Jim Brown is acting as a football coach, not a stretch. Lawrence Taylor was acting as a captain, a linebacker on a football team, also not a stretch. Yeah. Cam Neely is a Hall of Fame hockey player that was acting as a sexual predator who happened to be a trucker. It's pretty good.
Oh, you know what? Somebody has a good one. You know, Marshawn Lynch has been pretty good in Westworld. Westworld, by the way, not great. But Marshawn Lynch is great. But then that's what to be expected. But then again, Marshawn Lynch is being Marshawn Lynch. Like, he's just like, yeah, dog. And we've seen him, you know, like doing his reality show. And I can't get enough Marshawn Lynch. I think that there's not enough of him on TV. He's great in almost everything. And he was really good on, what's the show? The Fantasy Football League. He was really funny on The League.
Yes, he was.
So put him in anything. Oh, by the way, and Zoe Saitari was great on an episode of Married with Children. Absolutely he was. He's always been good. Oh, someone said the Bosworth and Stone Cold. Remember that movie?
Yeah. I was just thinking of The Longest Yard. He's in that. Michael Irvin had a nice little role.
Michael Irvin was very good in The Longest Yard.
Whatever.
By the way, I don't know if this is the truth, but I just got an email from a female friend of mine that said that Terry Bradshaw was in the movie Failure to Launch.
Mm. He was. He was the dad. He was the dad. Well, and he's always
good. I'm told he was good in that. I never saw the movie, so I don't know.
Was that friend Amy Lawrence?
No, no, it's not. That's a cheap shot, Shirley. Jesus Christ. And by the way, that was out of nowhere. That's really impressive.
I'll give Dan credit for that because it was great. It's producer Dan with a one-line singer. It was a good one.
Wallace is shaking his fist on me.
I want to flip him off, but there's
shaking his fist. He wants to flip me off, but he can't because of the camera.
I can't do it.
Okay, you know what actor I can't tell whether it would happen. I can't tell whether he was really good or it was just so awkwardly charming that I bought in was Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a great role. Yeah. Now, Joe, if you want me to speak your language, are we going to go Hulk Hogan and Mr. Nanny or Thunder and
No Holds Barred, man.
No Holds Barred. Oh, hell yes.
Rocky. You know,
I saw
Thunder
that.
Lips, man.
Oh, Thunder Lips. Let's go.
Great
my high school. My high school wrestling coach's big claim to fame was that he was in No Holds Barred. Like, he was like one of the guys who was like a part of the whole final battle between, what was the name?
Zeus.
Junkyard.
It was, I believe it was Devo, right? From Friday, right? That's who played
Zeus. Zeus. Yeah. I don't know. I believe so. That sounds right. Yep.
Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane, he just kind of had to be a straight man, which was and he was funny, and he did as good a job as you could do. But like, it's not Cam Neely as Seabass, which is just it's perfect. If you saw that movie and didn't know who Cam Neely was, you left the theater going, that was a top five moment in one of the funnier films ever made, and it was because of him. Oh God!
Did you see the part two, the Dumb and Dumber two, where? They like threw drinks at his truck. He's like a truck driver or whatever.
Cam Neely's in it again.
Yeah, he's in it again. I didn't see it.
See, I didn't see the new one. I heard it wasn't good, and part of me was just like,
why ruin?
I don't want to ruin something that's perfect. Yeah. You know, well, it's a stupid movie. Who cares if I see the sequel or not? But I'll tell you what though. A couple of years ago, when that movie came out, they brought the Mutt Cuts car, the actual Mutt Cuts car, to the station, and I was irrationally happy. they let you sit inside of it, and it was one of those things where no grown human being should actually get this excited to sit inside of like a stupid car that's dressed like, that looks like a dog. Oh, but I was. I mean, that's something that if I did this type of thing, I would have put it on my Christmas card and sent it out to everyone.
Hey, just real quick, your thoughts on The Rock? He might be like the biggest like, I don't know, actor in the world.
Right, I don't know now. If
he's
it counts.
He's the best there is.
No,
He's the best there is. And you know what? Yeah. I've said this about The Rock. Even like in the early days when the project sucked, he's always great. Yeah. And like I don't even think of him as like being an athlete anymore. The dude's so freaking good. Yeah, like yeah. In all of his, he's just got that thing that yeah.
Ballers was good. I kind of like the show. I don't really watch it that much anymore.
I never watched Ballers simply because the name of the show was Ballers. So
he's everywhere too. By the way, he's everywhere. Yeah. I turned on the TV and there he was, Fast you know, hosting Furious. The Titan games.
Yeah, he's doing that.
He does Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
Jumanji,
he does the Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
Jumanji. He's doing Kevin Hart movies. He's everywhere.
I like the Fast and Furious movies, but the minute he showed up, it went next level. Like that's when he showed up, those movies became amazing. And I, what was it, the fourth one that I
fifth
think
one.
That he ended up
Fast Five.
No,
the fifth one.
I thought he showed up in the fourth one.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That was one where they went back to L.A. and that was Braga.
Shut
and
up, we got a break.
That was Braga and all that. No, fifth one when they when they went to Rio. That's all that right. was the one who showed up.
All right. Well, either way.
Get your history right, expert.
I got to get it all
Can't
right.
Can't believe
all
like Mars Attacks. It still bothers
no, me. No, and I love Tim Burton. I thought that was a dumb movie. All right, 617-779-0985. LeBron James, I heard he was good in Trainwreck. I never saw it. I'm not a big Amy Schumer fan. All right, let's get to something that I'm sure left many Red Sox fans crying on their pillows last night. A certain superstar that was ours. He was going to be here for the rest of his career. And now he's in L.A. We will get to that right after this.
Kick his ass,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Did you catch a game last night?
Yes. Hey here, you like lasagna? Did you catch a game last night?
Have you tried the lasagna? It's my favorite.
That's right.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes?
I like them.
What grade are you in at school?
Well, that's creepy. I wouldn't go down that road. That's not quite great.
Did you catch a game last night?
How old are you, son? I'm 14.
I'm 14. Thank you, Country Joe West. Well, just like that. By the way, it's Toucher and Rich, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Like a wood chipper tearing apart the dreams of Dan Roach's and John Wallach's hearts out there, Mookie Betts is now the one that got away as he signs a gargantuan $365 million deal with the Dodgers. Okay, I don't get to say this often, but John, can you admit I was right all along? Can you acknowledge that I've been saying I don't care what everybody's talking about with the pandemic, meaning teams are going to spend less when it comes to Mookie, someone is going to give him one of the largest contracts in baseball history. Can you admit that this one time I, Rich effing Domus, was right?
I'm shocked, but yeah. No, I'm not shocked that you were right. I'm shocked that the Dodgers gave him this much in the middle of a pandemic. But yes, I am. You were correct. And I was wrong about this. I thought he would go to free agency because I didn't think anyone, considering what the world has been like over the last 4 months, would empty out the bank like this. But, you know, the Dodgers apparently have more money than any team in the history of the world. So they're going to spend a lot of money over a long period of time and hope that the world comes back sooner rather than later.
And by the way, these are the same owners that were fighting over relatively paltry amounts of cash.
Yes.
The stupid.
Don't think that escaped me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, oh, no, it's not a profitable business at all. You know, no, us owners. This proves my point in that the owners could completely afford to skip the season. And this, all of this hemming and hawing and all of this, oh, we can't, you know, we're only going to pay you a prorated portion of your salary. This is all in an attempt to gut the union and limit spending and give themselves the best bargaining position possible in the winter of next year when the CBA comes up. The players don't have a chance. The owners hold all the cards, and they're going to try and limit spending It's now. I think Mookie might be the last big contract you're going to see for a while.
That's wrong.
The owners. Well, it is. The owners are going to chase after a salary cap in a year and a half.
I mean, maybe that's. This is not going to be the end of the big spending. I mean, listen, billionaire. What did we learn yesterday? Is that billionaires are billionaires, and they'll all spend to have the newest, hottest toy. And this year, it was going to be no different with Mookie Betts. He was the hottest guy out there. They were going to fight over him, and they're going to throw whatever cash they could. 12 years, $365 million in the middle of a pandemic. They gave him the third richest contract in American sports, where the first richest contract, Patrick Mahomes, was also done during a pandemic.
Yes.
So we can stop with this whole narrative that these guys aren't going to pay anything. Yeah. You bet your ass they are.
Do you think that the owners are going to do their best to crush the players and their salaries a year from now? And do you think now, even better, do you think they'll succeed? And I think the answer is yes, too.
Here's why in baseball it doesn't matter, obviously, without the salary cap. But on top of that, because there's always going to be a team that is willing to pay more to get that guy.
Yes.
There's always going to be somebody who goes, oh, all right, it's a pandemic, you're crying poor, I'll take him. And there's going to be another one, oh, you're right, I'll take him. That's just how it's been.
I understand that.
And this has not changed their mentality. But everything that's been happening has not changed the mentality of these owners, as we can tell.
But if you institute a cap and a limit on spending in some way, that number, you're right, there's always going to be one team that blows away the field, but that blowaway number will be less than we're accustomed to. Well, I guess that's my point.
Let me just bring up a name, George Springer. That dude's going to get paid. Someone's going to pay him, whether it's the Astros or someone else. Like, he's probably going to be your next $300 million player.
Is he going to get what Mookie Betts just got?
No, but nobody will. Mookie Betts is the second best player in baseball.
I understand that. I guess what I'm saying, you're right, Springer is a 30-30 guy. He's not as good as Betts. He'll make $300 million, but he'll make $300 million. He won't make $350. He won't make $400.
Well, we don't know that. Listen, I gotta bring this up, guys, because I work on different shows here with other big baseball guys, and they called Mookie Betts stupid for not accepting the deal for the Red Sox. And I'm sitting there like, this guy's still going to get paid. Whether it was 1 year down the line or even 2 years down the line, he wanted $420 million. He settled on $385 million, like in a pandemic. I mean, the way I look at it is, he either A, didn't want to be here, or B, the Red Sox didn't sign him. Right, both.
We'll get to that in just a second. Here's Mookie.
The market wasn't what I was worried about. It's just the fair value. That's been my number one thing for my whole career. Once we got to that point and being somewhere that I love being, I mean, it's just a match that's perfect.
All right. So to that point, we do know one thing, and that this does beat the hell out of what you were saying there, Joe, the reported 10-year, $300 million deal that he rejected for the Red Sox. And you know what? I don't want to hear that he didn't want to play here. That's not it at all. He just wanted to get paid what he was worth, and what he was worth was $65 million more than the Red Sox were willing to offer. So to me, I'm not even upset. That's a lot of money. Now, letting John Lester slip away, that was inexcusable.
The one singular mistake of this ownership.
No, I'm pissed. They traded Mookie Betts, the second best player in baseball, who they developed in the system, became a star, somebody that you can actually identify in Major League Baseball, for a bag of balls and a Verdugo. That's what they just traded him for.
A 60-game season.
That's fine. And you move on from David Price's contract, whatever. I'm reading John Tomasi today trying to say that this is good for the Red Sox.
The fact that the
Red Sox don't have Mookie Betts and he made $385 million is good for the Red Sox? Like, you should be pissed as a fan.
Timing also played a part in this. If the Red Sox had decided to gamble, and then upped their offer to Betts and got somewhere close to this, like, say, 12 years, 340, or 12 years, 330, or 13 years, 360, something like that, I don't know if they'd ever be willing to go there. But if they had done that and Betts was still on this team, I think he would have accepted it.
And just to bring up, you brought up the Mahomes thing. Look what they're doing. Whatever you want to think about the contract or whatever, that's going to be their guy for the next 5 to 10 years. The Red Sox should have done the same thing, and they didn't do it. And the thing that's more laughable than anything is, they just traded Mookie Betts, and he can come back here next year. How'd that work with John Lester? Losers for thinking like that.
They were smart. Dodgers were smart. They locked him up right before the season started. It kind of took a lot of people by surprise, but in the end, I thought it was a smart move. And listen, Mookie's phenomenal, but let's face it. He's been getting embarrassed in exhibition games by the Dodgers ball boy who's been robbing him of dingers in left field. So let's not get too upset that chump – isn't on this team, all right?
Okay.
When you've got, what's his name? Chico, right? Chico the ball boy?
I don't know. I forget his name, but yes.
That's the story. They got a guy who's like the ball boy who's been playing outfield who's just like robbing Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
So there you go. Watch that, make yourself feel better. And, you know, have a nice cup of calm the hell down, because I don't think that they were going to ever pay the guy. And I'm really not that upset. I'm still pissed off about the John Lester thing. The Mookie one, dude, that's an absurd amount of money. I mean, it really is.
It's market value.
Although in baseball, it doesn't
matter. For that guy, it's market value.
I mean, you're right. In baseball, it doesn't matter. But I'm not. I mean, listen, I'm not pissed, because to me, it's more funny to watch you and Dan Roach get upset.
It's market value for a guy like Betts, who's the second best player in baseball. It's market value. I look, the big argument yesterday, and I saw this all over the place, and it was on this radio station and everywhere, every sports channel you turned on. What's this Betts deal going to look like in the last 3 years of the contract when he's 37, 38, 39? That's my point exactly.
It doesn't matter.
At least for the first half of that contract, Betts is a 30-30 guy or 30-30 threat who can hit 300 and is a gold glove outfielder. How many guys in Major League Baseball are 30-30 threats that can hit 300 and are gold gloves? Trout is one.
Three, maybe.
Yelich might be another. And then there's Betts. And that's it. The list is very short. So you have to pay through the nose, and you have to be willing to take declining value on the back end.
But does he bring the intangibles like Johnny Gomes did? I'm not quite sure. I mean, the minute Mookie Betts says something like
this. What if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you? Are you going to go get security, or are you going to do something right there?
No, I'm going to break his arm and go to jail for a month. What are you getting at? So it's pointing at you.
Every time I hear that, it looks like
we're going to have to throw down Cobra.
Yeah, every time I hear that, it gets more and more absurd.
It doesn't matter. I don't shop here. And then, you know, he like smashes him over the head with a can of beans or something like that. I don't know what he wanted people to go, yeah, man, now you're making some sense. You should actually beat the snot out of somebody who's pointing at you in a grocery store. That sounds justified. Ugh, Mookie, you're missing those intangibles. All right, Seabass spoke about David Pastrnak. We will get to that, as well as Blue Jays don't have a home, and the season starts today. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm here in L.A. for 12, 13 years. I'm super excited about this opportunity. The goal is to bring back some rings over this period of time, and that's what I'm going to be here and work for.
98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, John Wallach, Joe Murray in studio. That is the voice, of course, of the one that got away. Very pissed this morning, you two gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm kind of zen about the whole thing. I thought it was a lot of money at the time.
I'm not upset. I'm not nearly as upset as Joe is, because I'm thinking back on the timing of this thing. Mookie told the Red Sox time and time again he was going to go to free agency. And the Red Sox knew this entering last season. So if you're the Red Sox and you're risking losing him for nothing, and if the pandemic didn't hit, he would have gotten more money than what he got. Honestly, I think the Red Sox, it was a tough call to make, but if you're the Red Sox, do you roll the dice in his walk here and get nothing for him except a compensation pick?
No, you don't let it get to that point.
I understand that, but they offered him 10 years and $300 million.
Yeah, that we know of.
Fine.
That we know. We don't even know.
But he turned it down. So if that's the case, and you just offered a player like that $30 million a year, and he turned it down, I mean, if that's as far as you're willing to go, and by the way, they're under new not ownership, but under new leadership now. mean, the Red Sox didn't get Chaim Bloom to spend a lot of money. Chaim Bloom's specialty is to do more with less.
Yeah, and Rich, I just
so
asked
that offer wasn't going to get bigger. Hold on, I'll let you talk. I just want to finish this thought. That offer wasn't going to get bigger. So if you're the Red Sox, and yes, you did let him get away, and yes, he was homegrown, and yes, you're never going to see him again in your uniform. That's a very tough call to make. It's not nearly as black and white as everyone would have you believe this morning.
I just think if Dombrowski was here, I think that they might have looked into it.
Sure.
And
because that's Dombrowski's specialty, spending money.
Let's give Mookie Betts another let's give Jackie Bradley Jr. $10 million. Like, they did not have to give Chris Sale. If there's a guy they didn't have to give the deal to, it's Chris Sale. And I know it's hindsight right now, but you just had one of the best, arguably a top three player in the game, and you let him walk for nothing. You can say Verdugo could be good. You can say these prospects could be good. Nobody cares about the Red Sox anymore. Nobody cares about them anymore. And now the fact that the guys in L.A., the two best players in baseball are in L.A. right now. They're both in L.A., and Boston's just looking at the guy that got away, that they developed as a second baseman and became an outfielder and an all-star and won a championship with him.
Is Verdugo's got the guy who's got the gigantic 99 chain?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to start the season as a platoon player. They're not going to start him against lefties. Kevin Pillar is going to play right field against left-handed pitching.
I just think that maybe he should team up with the 99 restaurant, and every time on TV that that sweet piece of ice, kids eat free.
Kids, oh God, don't give them ideas, man. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know why you're so pissed. As I said, it sucks. He's gone. You know, fine. No, I'm more pissed that they're going into a season with no pitching. Nothing going on. So, dude, just right off the season, it's going to suck. Hopefully they figure out. Although, to be quite honest, they could suck and still make the playoffs, which is pretty hysterical.
They're not going to. Well, I don't care if they expand the crowd. They could have 20 teams make it. The Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs.
Rich, how do you feel if they suck, they don't make the playoffs, and the Dodgers raise a championship and Mookie's the MVP?
It'd be kind of funny, actually.
I think it'd be very funny.
I'm going to be pissed.
No. There's no reason for you to be pissed, Joe.
So do you think they would have won if Mookie was here?
No,
honestly,
looking
at this rotation, would they have won, Joe?
No. Listen. I know I'm getting a little stupid about baseball right now and like showing my emotions, but like I want to crap on the Red Sox. They just let one of the best players they've ever had.
Can we make a shirt out of that? Can we make a shirt? I want to crap on the Red Sox.
I want to crap on the Red Sox.
And put the Touch Were Rich logo like right next to it. That'd be great.
You just let the best player you've had in 10, 15 years leave.
Listen to me. Was it, considering the mistakes of the past, and you made a good point about Dombrowski, he painted the Red Sox into a corner, you know, salary-wise, and the payroll could only be so big, and they were facing mammoth luxury tax implications. Could they have re-signed Betts, and was it as easy as waiting it out? If you're a general manager, and the best player you have is going to walk, because all indications were he was leaving, and you would have to spend out your ass to get him back. Would you?
They're building a damn cinema over there, and all this other stuff. They have the money to do it. I don't want to hear about luxury taxes and all this other stuff. Did he want to be here yesterday? He's even said in the thing, I don't want to go there. I'm happy with where I'm going. So, like, did you want to be here, Mookie, or not?
It doesn't sound like it.
Because if he sounds like he didn't want to be here, that's fine.
It doesn't
but
sound
don't
like
give
it.
Me Verdugo and bag of balls.
No. For 1 year. I mean, the Dodgers negotiated this perfectly. We only have Betts for 1 year. We're not giving you Gavin Lux, who is their best prospect.
I don't care. I don't like this deal no matter what. I don't like what they got.
All right,
out on this.
Okay. By the way, I just
a lot
plugged,
of heat coming
I,
off this guy.
I just plugged into the show sheet at 8 a.m. We're doing a bit called I Want to Crap on the Red Sox.
Yes.
Mike, I know you got a million things going on, but if you can produce an open using Joe Murray from a couple of seconds ago, you know what? If there's any day where you want to do it, I'm, to be honest, I'm not as passionate, so I'm sure there's a lot of people who are. Like, I think it's kind of funny how angry people are getting. I mean, dude, that's a buttload of money. But I understand it. I get it.
It's the cost of doing business with this player, and if you compare it to other contracts, it doesn't look... Other contracts of other players that have signed recently...
Jackie Bradley Jr., $10 million for nothing again.
Jeez, you guys
238
hate,
batting average.
You hate Jackie Bradley Jr. Everyone in the station hates Jackie Bradley Jr.
He's
not even the best outfielder on the team right now.
Overrated. He really is.
Pilar is.
Widely, yeah. It's actually true. They have very good fielding.
Pilar makes what, $1 million?
Who's overrating Jackie Bradley Jr.? Everyone knows him as the guy that has like one or two highlight reel. Oh my God, did you just see
but
that?
Why thing? He's and 31 and they're still paying him.
Dude, do you see the payroll of mediocre players across the league? Mediocre players make $1 zillion in this league. So, I mean, compare his stats to others. I guarantee you he's right on par with what everyone else is getting in his position, or at least with his type of stats. I'm telling you, everyone's so fired up about weird stuff, and I don't get it. That's why at 8 o'clock I want to do I Want to Crap on the Red Sox, because I to be quite honest, I can't really do it this morning, and everybody else wants to do it, so God bless you. There's a lot of Joe Murray. There's way more Joe Murrays this morning than Rich Shirt leaves. I'll tell you what. When it comes to this home,
no, I'm pissed that he got a deal that they could have signed. They could have done this.
They weren't going to go that
far. They didn't want to pay him $385 million.
No, they weren't going to go that far.
I understand, but I mean, it's the third largest American sports contract in history. The third largest. And that's obviously behind a guy who just made a $500 million in the NFL. So, I mean, if you want to yell and say that the Red Sox should have done it, fine. I'm a fan in that whole mentality because Major League Baseball is stupid. There's no cap. Spend money. I don't care. Go for it. And I know that there's all this punishments and crap like that. I don't care. Spend your money. But to be quite honest, I mean, like, dude, they didn't want to pay him. I don't see – it wouldn't have fixed the team this year. They need pitching. They got nothing right now.
Yeah, they screwed that up,
and to be quite honest, the bats seem to be fine. Yes. It's not Mookie Betts. The offense is going to be fine this year.
This team can score runs. That's true. This is not a problem. And the mistakes they made with the contracts in the past painted them into a corner where they probably weren't going to be able to meet this price.
No question. No question. And I do think it would be funny, John, unlike you, if they do expand the playoffs to 16 teams, which, by the way...
No, I think that's just fine. My point is they can expand it to 16, they can make it 20, they can have, you know, round robins all over the place and seeding games and have the playoffs last into November. The Red Sox still aren't going to make it. That was my point.
Well, there's going to be a team that makes it that's won, like 20-something games.
Yeah. Sure.
Just real quick, it's okay to be pissed. Like the Lester thing says it bothers you, right?
Yes.
Well, it bothered me when Pedro left. You know, bothered me when other guys left. Mookie Betts gets traded?
That's legit. Like, those, I agree with you. I agree with everything you just said.
How is Mookie Betts not legit? He was an MVP.
I agree, but I'm not nearly as passionate as you are. Like,
it's because people don't care anymore about the game. That's why. If you still cared, if this was the Patriots, all right, I'm telling you, if this was the Patriots, people would be pissed.
Listen to me.
They would be.
Joe, I'm a Red Sox fan. I don't care. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I don't care nearly as much as you do about this. I am a Red Sox fan. I've been a Red Sox fan a lot longer than you, and I don't care nearly as much. Because I understand that he wasn't coming back here based on what I've seen this administration do.
Yep. Hey, not signing Pedro was the right thing to do.
And you know what? Pedro, as a matter of fact, if you really want to play history here, Pedro Martinez got the Red Sox best and final offer, and they thought they had him. And then Pedro went to his agent, Fern Cusa, and said, go get me a better deal from the Mets. And that's exactly what his agent did. That wasn't the Red Sox fault. They gave him a fair offer. And Pedro decided to turn around and get a better one after he had the final offer from the Red Sox. Now, Pedro is loved here. I love him to death. He's the best Red Sox pitcher I've seen here in the last 30 years.
All right.
All I'm saying is an MVP just walked out the door.
Yes.
And like years ago, people would be pissed about it, and today they don't care.
Well, because he was boring off the field. Really, let's face it, Mookie was boring. You know, he was too nice of a guy.
If he had wore funny hats like Cam Newton, we would have cared.
Well, listen, you want to talk about Cam Newton? We'll do that right after this. Once again, schedule it in. 8 o'clock, we will do a bit called I Want to Crap on the Red Sox, just based after what Joe Murray was just saying there. And then you can let it all out if you are feeling what Joe Murray's throwing out there. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Clear the way. Clear the way. It's about to be cleared. Yes. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. John Wallach, Joe Murray, and we saw the video last night. Cam Newton arriving at Logan once again with a video on his social media where he comes walking through the airport, and there are people from the television stations going up and trying to interview him, and hey, it's good he's here. Apparently, he recorded that super sleek, super sexy video of him throwing to a shirtless Julian Edelman somewhere not in New England, but now he's here, and unfortunately, one of the things that just drives me crazy is that he's a mask not over the nose guy, which, once again, I think I heard Tony Maz say this, that's like putting a condom only over your testicles and saying we're good. For some reason, it's like, all right, dude, what are we doing? So you got Cam Newton coming here to town. He's finally here. I think quarterbacks are set to report on Monday now, so you're going to have him and Stidham and Jared Hoyer, or now he's here, and who knows, or Brian Hoyer, who knows what the hell's going to end up happening there. All I know is that yesterday, after, I mean, how many days was it? Was it Sunday that all of the players in the NFL were tweeting this, we wanted to play, and they were telling the owners that they needed answers when it came to safety protocols? And, John, what ended up happening, like, immediately after all those players complained about that?
The NFL got on it and said, yeah, okay, let's test every day. Yep.
Gave him pretty much everything. But meanwhile, there were a bunch of people calling out Tom Brady saying, you know, why hasn't Tom Brady said anything? I mean, Drew Brees is speaking. You've got J.J. Watt. All of the biggest stars in the NFL are saying, you know, we could use your help right now, Tom Brady. And there was nothing for Tom. And by the way, I don't fault Tom Brady. Like, you don't have to speak out on everything. You know,
but in a situation like this, where there's a concerted effort by the biggest names in the sport, Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, You are bound by duty to either join or not join. You pick a side when everyone else in your sport that is well known is tweeting out something like that. You have to step up and either join or not join. And Brady was conspicuous by his absence.
That's fair. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere last night, we get this tweet from Tom Brady that says, there are more questions than answers, but we must have faith in our Players Association leaders, both players and staff, to get the game and the business of football in the right place. Let's stay unified and demand necessary answers from the NFL's partners. Yeah. We're in this together. Hashtag LFG. Yeah. By the way, this is the most Tom Brady statement of all time. You said absolutely nothing with that statement. Nothing whatsoever. On top of that, you're 2 days late to the party, my friend. This stuff's mostly already been ironed out. Like, they've worked it all out, and you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we really need to get this done. Dude, what are you doing? Yeah. It's because people were freaking out and saying you shouldn't have said something. By the way, I didn't have a problem with not saying anything. It doesn't look good, but still, I wasn't going to kill the guy because of it. But then he comes out with this just completely asinine, saying nothing statement.
And he's holding workouts when you're not supposed to.
The same guy who's holding workouts when you shouldn't be.
A dozen players that you're not supposed to be doing.
He's all of a sudden
massively concerned.
And by the way, the things that he says, isn't this what he said about his contract with the Patriots? Oh, we have to have faith. Things got to work out. We have to trust our leadership. The same guy who thought he'd get that same stuff with the Patriots and sign with Tampa Bay.
Wow.
You're very pissed at players who no longer play.
This Tom Brady stuff, you're right. He is too late to the party. And you know what? You are holding workouts when you shouldn't. And you know what? You probably shouldn't have said anything at all.
It's true. It's like, I saw that last night. I'm like, dude, are you... Like, it's when you get a... You ever gotten a text, like, a couple days later randomly from somebody?
Yeah.
And, like, for some reason, there was some sort of thing that just wasn't working, and you take... Like, your friend back will just say, yeah, sure, let's do it. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, what are you talking about? I just got a text that said we'll do it. He goes, dude, I said that 3 days ago when we were in the middle of a conversation. That's what this is like. Like, was that tweet somewhere, like, caught? And even if he did, he literally said nothing there. Just like all of his press conferences where he goes up and he does the exact same thing as Belichick. It's just Belichick's rude as hell when he goes up there. He won't give, you know, he's not trying to sugarcoat that he's not going to tell you anything. Tom Brady goes up there and says absolutely nothing, but does it with a smile. And that's what that tweet was. Like, that is just, you're right, John. He should have just not sent anything. This is worse than him even throwing that out 2 days late to the party. And then, and now, I guarantee you it's because his agent was like, man, you're getting killed, dude. There's all these people calling you out saying you should do it. I mean, I think, I don't know which player it was who on Sunday was like, hey, Tom, we could really use you. Like, he wasn't killing Tom Brady, but it was a pretty big player, and I forget who it was like, hey, Tom, you know, we could use your voice right now. And then 2 days later, he shoots this out. Although on the day, on that on the Monday, where all that was stuff was going on, he did launch a new product at his Instagram page.
Sure.
It's the new TB12 mini vibrating ball, which I'm sure is just a,
the what?
An amazing, it's like a mini vibrating
and
ball.
What do you sure, use that for?
Well, I mean, you stick it.
what do you use that for?
Is you
that
stick for it in your
for,
happy place?
Men or for women? What do you use that for?
I don't know. It's like it's for, to loosen up your mafibulas. I'm sure it's $1 zillion too. Right. I don't know. I just saw it as though, geez, Tom Brady. All right. We got the Bankroll Boys in the studio. Let's talk about making some money. This is like the first week where we have a slew of real, real, real sports. Baseball. Next week we got basketball. I watched some of the bubble last night. I don't even know if you can bet on that stuff yet.
Oh, you can.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I can't get enough. We got Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz in their happy place. Also, the Degenerate Special, which has been on fire lately. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.